there's going to be a lot of things that could happen here. Existing decks. So I don't think Modern Horizons is going to introduce earth-shattering decks because they said they don't want to blow up the format. So I don't think it's suddenly going to change everything. So the decks that are good are going to stay good and get better. So these cards are going to be probably good targets because they're going to see increases. So cards that I was looking at was Hangerback Walker, which I know we had a user, a sub, Phil Allen, was talking about before. I think what's going to happen is that the, you know, all these matchups that are currently good and bad right now, you know, this deck being bad against this deck, like Hardened Scales being bad against the Phoenix decks, I think a lot of that's going to shift with these new cards. So
Hangerback Walker, I think, is a great target. It's sitting at like $6.
While all of the other components of that Hardened Scales deck are like $12 or more, including like Steel Overseer and some of the other core components. Walking Ballista is at like $12-13. So it's just odd to me that Hangerback Walker is still sitting at $6. So I like Hangerback Walker. There is an Orzhov Tokens deck that was played in an SCG Classic, and it features three Soren Solemn Visitor, which was a card to consider call of mine like a year ago when it was at like $3 or something like that. Well, it's now in this Orzhov Tokens deck that took fourth place at this Classic. It's a 3 of. And it's currently, let me check right now actually how much the price of that is. Soren Solemn. I'll tell you right now. It's still $3, $3 or $4. I think that could easily be an $8 if that deck ends up becoming a thing. Again, these are just lower buying cards that could improve over time and that could be augmented by Modern Horizons. Another one I love is War of Invention, because this prison deck it got like 9th or 10th place at GPLA. It was in this SCG Classic. It's $2.20. You could probably get it cheaper on Facebook groups and locally. I would be going in on War of Invention. There's no reason why this card doesn't end up being $4 or $5 after Modern Horizons, assuming that it, you know, becomes more of a thing. Again, maybe it ends up being beat out by other decks and into obscurity, but it's just the kind of card that seems like people will always be building around it to do something with it, and it's already demonstrated its power in Modern. It's $2.20. I think that's a no-brainer, War of Invention. So those are my main ones. Another one I like, one second, on my list. Shattering Spree. I love Shattering Spree because it's probably never going to be reprinted anytime soon, as in the next 5 years. Replicate is just something I don't see them doing again anytime soon. And this card is played in Legacy, it's played in Modern, it's all over the place. And I think that if Manamorphose, which was an uncommon and had a reprint, can go to $20, I know it's a 4 of, and Shattering Spree is usually a sideboard card, but this Shattering Spree is $5, and which is where Manamorphose used to be. I don't see why Shattering Spree couldn't end up being a $10 card. And I will add the caveat to that that's probably more so due to supply, and I don't think this thing's getting reprinted anytime soon. And I mean, it was guild packed. It was just so old now at this point that I like Shattering Spree a lot at $5. So those are some of the ones that I have just been looking at.
Yeah. So I kind of have this bit of a range. So I'm gonna kind of go through this. It's you know a short list like last week. I am feeling fairly confident. Like last week, on most of the cards, some obviously they can be debated. Some may end up being stronger than others. But you know, the cards that I am going to discuss, you know, have everything going for them in terms of low spread, important to the format, recently reprinted, which you know, and they're definitely not going to be reprinted in this set. So you know, who knows when the next time they'll actually get reprinted? And you know. I did take into account at least the last week's GP buy lists, where in some cases the buy lists were offering nearly retail or actually retail for these cards. So to start off again, I mean, I mentioned this last week. I think I'm just as confident this week in talking about it again in the cards to consider. That is my I used that last week. I'm definitely coining this for QS 2019 and beyond. You know, everyone, I guess, you know, in our kind of finance community, or, you know, the financial aspect of the game, kind of just fell into picks of the week. Well, picks of the week be damned. I like cards to consider. That is my new coining of the term there. So, one second. All right. So, starting at the bottom, we got Fulminator Mage sitting right now on TCG. And you might probably find this steal in like social, you know, on the social pages, Facebook groups, etc. $5 to $6, $5.50 with, you know, shipping, about $6. We'll call it. The actual market price is like $6.50. Buy lists are offering pretty much $5 on this card. $4.50 to $5 on this card. Just reprinted in UMA, just as important to the format. And it's a card that will probably not ever not be good. And definitely it was on the boards at GP Las Vegas as well, and they were offering pretty much retail on. So that's kind of the lower, you know, end buy-in. Now we kind of move into a couple of higher buy-ins from there. These two are going to be Spellskite, sitting at about, $7. Boards were offering nearly retail on this. The highest buy list is about $5.50. So I really like that spread there. Again, just as important to Modern. There is a couple printings. There is a Modern Masters 2015. And yeah, it was 2015. And the new Phyrexia printing. That goes into Mishra's Bauble. Around the same, like $5 as the other two. This card was like $20 at one point. Now I don't think it will ever be $20 again, but the buy lists on this, it's already like $5. It's been up at least a little bit over the, since pretty much the announcement. These were sitting at like $3.50 ish. They're kind of pushing $5 now. Buy lists are pretty strong on this as well. And it's just one of those uncommons, like you said before, Tark, you know, you talked about Shattering Spree. Well, I think this pretty much shrugs off this recent reprint of this was Iconic Masters, and this could easily be in that $8 to $10 range, which is pretty much a double up.
So, maybe, you know, Chaz, I want to quickly just—I don't mean to interrupt you, but I just want to point out. I actually think, and maybe this is something we can do for the next cast or another cast. I think that basically any modern staple that is $4 to $5 or less, but we'll say $4 to $5. That's where that's where the average hard staple sits at $4 to $5, or maybe $6, maybe $4 to $6. Will low, meaning, you know, maybe the retail is as high as $7, but you can get them cheaper. So $4 to $6 reasonably, you can acquire them. All of those anything that's in any staple that's in that range has the potential to go up really and to double up. Right? I think that. We don't have, given the limited information we have.
I think it's past potential. I think it's almost like imminent.
Inevitable. Yeah. So I would say maybe what we could do is compile a list of all the staples that cost between $4 and maybe $7 and take a look at them, you know, four ofs, or maybe if they're even three ofs, you know, whatnot, and take a look at them. Maybe even the two ofs, but, you know, the ones that are just played in multiple decks, et cetera. And I think that kind of exhaustive list, you pretty much are safe buying most of that.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of where I was with all of these cards too. I'm like, you know, and I talked about it yesterday, but you know, I didn't want to give this, like, because I had a question, you know, from the cast before we started recording is, and you know, that's a great idea. We're still going to do it. I didn't want to like cast this like wide net on cast and just be like, hey, you know, just go buy like all this stuff. I do think it's still a good idea, like we're going to do it. But I wanted to kind of hit like a couple of key, cards, especially for the cast, because, you know, we did have a question and, you know, we always have to kind of pinpoint certain stuff, at least for the cast, but it's definitely something that Tark and I will follow up with, because yeah. I think that's a great idea. I mean, it's like, especially with so much focus on modern, you know, and we brought up the point, at least before the cast, that like we might be trending back into the heydays of modern here. I don't know if it's exactly going to be like it was, where
Pro Tour.
Every other card is just spiking every other week. Like periphery nodes and like, you know, these like random cards that show up on a sideboard that just like just blows up because it's like from, you know, Plane Chase or what, or Planar Chaos or whatever, you know.
I think it's perfectly reasonable to expect that around spoiler season, that's going to happen.
For Modern Horizons, yeah, most definitely.
That we see similar to back when a couple years ago when there was modern Pro Tours, that we just have spikes left and right of just anything and everything was on the table. I think it's highly probable, and I would expect that to happen around spoiler season for Modern Horizons. Just because of the fever pitch that will be.
Yeah, you know. I mean, there's just all this pressure. I mean, I there's going to be a ton of new demand. I mean, for this format, and again, I don't think we're going exactly like right back to the heyday where just cards are spiking all over the place, and you know, random cards that are seeing play for the new time or for the first time, and that were like only reprinted once, you know, just start skyrocketing. But definitely, all these cards that we were talking about, and the cards that even on a list that you alluded to were like that $4 to $6 range. Like, there's no way.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's just no way. So, I'll continue on to this list really quickly. So that put me into Death Shadow and Bloodghast territory. Yep. I know it's like pretty obvious, but, they were reprinted and pretty much just as much in demand as they were before they were reprinted. And most of their prices.
P.S. Death Shadow back in
was like December, $6 or $7,
and is now $16 again.
Yeah. And I think they're going to continue to increase.
Yep.
I mean, the buy lists are so razor thin on these. I mean, they're not razor thin, but they're still pretty good. And they're seeing as much play now as ever.
Yep.
So that led me to, you know, again, higher up on the buy-in chain. Death Shadow and Bloodghast. And then my kind of top choice here for cards to consider, I guess consideration, is Leyline of the Void. Now, this is by no means like, oh, it's like a $5 card. This is a pretty pricey buy-in, but I think akin to Surgical Extraction, I think this has everything going for it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a hefty buy-in for sure. Where's it sitting at exactly? Did you give the numbers earlier? I'm sorry, I don't think I recall.
So this is sitting at about, for near mint copies, like $45 to $50. The market price is 47, but the buy lists are pushing 40. Now the only thing I was concerned about.
Leyline of Void is an $80. It's a sideboard card, right? No, it's main deck.
And a very heavily played sideboard card. Normally a four of.
Yeah.
I mean, we're at the point where Surgical Extraction is like $75. Like as of today.
Yeah, it's possible. Yeah.
Now the only like kind of downside that to this was this, out of the cards that I had talked about, this was the only card not on many of the buy list boards from last week, which is a little concerning, but I don't think that means it's just not, you know, no one is buying this.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little more nervous.
Again, it's really pricey. I get it. You're kind of going for the top end there. You know, to that end, you can easily just go for Rest in Peace, but that card's not even at its, like, you know, $3 price range anymore.
Yep.
Now, I don't think it pushes much past where it is now, where the supply on Leyline of the Void can get snapped up really quickly. I mean, we're talking M11 and Guild Pact.
Yeah. Yep.
A 7-year-old set or a 6-year-old set and like a 10-year-old set, more like 12 years old or something like that.
Really, really quick, I need to make a correction to Shattering Spree. I was incorrect saying that it was not reprinted. It was actually recently reprinted in a guild kit. That's being said, I don't think that is necessarily enough to keep it from any upside. Though that is something to consider. I apologize. I was incorrect that there has been a reprint of Shattering Spree, and that's in a recent guild kit, which, again, I still think there's upside for Shattering Spree, especially when we hit spoiler season. Like
no,
I said,
finish up.
No. Like I was saying, anything that's in between $4 to $7, I think, has the potential to double up. I don't think a guild kit printing is going to be able to necessarily hold it down if it's something that is targeted or is good in a deck.
Yeah. I wasn't saying that's the card price of it now, but when it was when Rest in Peace was reprinted, it was pretty much in like the $3 range, and it's right back to where it was. I don't know if it pushes much past where it is now. I mean, it's like $10. I just don't think there's a lot of meat on the bone there left, but the buy list is really good. They were offering, I think the highest one right now is 7, and they were offering around that 7-8 at GPE Las Vegas. So pretty strong buy list on that too. But I just feel like, I just don't see this increasing that much more. All right, so if you had to rank a card that you felt most confident about, Tark, what would that be?
I really, really like Hangerback Walker. I just think that $6 is so low, and Hardened Scales is just better and better. I've heard people refer to it as the new Affinity. I know it doesn't have a great matchup against the Phoenix deck, and that may be part of the reason why it's being held back. But all the other components, all the other four ofs in that deck are at least like pushing $12 or more. The four of artifacts, and that one just happens to be sitting at 6. It's a little strange to me. So I'm really excited about that. Even if it's basically, if you were to tell me if Modern Horizons was not to exist and we weren't just like throwing cards out there, I think that would be my pick.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a good point. If Leyline of the Void starts getting too pricey, players opt to go to Rest in Peace. I mean, that's certainly possible. It's pretty much what was happening before. I think the top card of my list, and it might actually be the one that is 2 weeks in a row. I liked Celestial Colony for last week, but after more discussion, while it's still in a good spot, I don't know if it's was the strongest buy from my list. I'm still really good with Fulminator Mage. I just think it has such a strong buy list. It's now had 3 reprintings, and I don't think this card's price can get kept down. I think it just goes from like 5, especially the Ultimate Masters, Ultimate Masters? Yeah. The Ultimate Masters will certainly increase to where it is, from where it is now, to at least match the other printings, which are at least double or more than what the Ultimate Masters price is currently. The Shadowmoor printing is around, for near mint copies, $15, $13 to $15. The same with the Modern Masters 2015, and the Ultimate Masters is like $5 right now. So that's at least a triple, a triple up, definitely double.
Yeah. $5 seems too low for that.
Yeah. I
think that's a little too low. I think maybe $10 is probably reasonable. Like I can see it matching the 2017 or 2015. Sorry.
Yeah. And with more, cards, I mean, if they drop, like, again, based on speculation, but if they drop, like, some crazy land from Legacy as a reprint or, an entirely new land cycle or what have you, I mean, this is going to be, like, the prime. You'll be, like, totally... Will Modern Horizons make Dark Intimations Modern playable? No, I don't think so, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Damn, that sucks.
Bummer. I was rooting for you, too, Chaz, in Dark Intimations.
I was rooting for myself. Yeah, Yeah, damn, that's definitely a stinker.
I don't even think you made your 25 cents back that you paid on.
I don't think so either. I definitely lost on that one. I own it.
Yeah, man, what was that Chancellor, whatever the thing that I called, just ended up just being a complete dud.
Oh, the Mythic?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Azor or something like Azor, that. That was,
yeah, man. That's just.
What you were thinking on that one? I was like, even like, dude, I don't. What are you doing? And you're just like, I'm going for it, and I was. Yeah, you're gonna get burned on this.
Yeah.
Last minute questions. We're gonna try to wrap it up here. We're at around just under an hour. Feelings on box toppers. The demand has disappeared. For a lot of them, MM was selling a lot of them under buy list.
I think, I don't know if that miniature market sale is necessarily a data point that's necessarily super relevant, because I think that was just that was just like a fire sale. They're just trying to clear out inventory. I am still expecting a buyout on the Dox Toppers some point this year. I don't know if all of them are going to get, but I think because if you think about it, that's another thing with Modern Horizons. It's like the modern hype, just that could be the point where, you know, people decide to go in on box toppers for these cars, for the staple. Yes, there definitely is a Fulminator made of box topper. So I think it's going to happen at some point this year. I mean, maybe it doesn't, but I don't know. I prime and like, you know, like you're saying, that we're in this weird place where they're not super popular at the moment, which by the way, is a good time to kind of be picking them up. But yeah, they're just so prime for a buyout, similar to the masterpieces. I mean, they're basically just another set of masterpieces. So I think it's going to happen.
It does have a box topper, doesn't it? It sucks. I don't think that matters. The
box toppers are so rare.
Yeah, I don't think we like kind of take that into our calculations, but you know, it's something, but I don't think that.
Actually, on that point, I think the foils of Modern Horizons, the hot.
Oh, they are. Oh my! It's going to be a gold mine.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to be a gold mine.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of money in the.
Yeah, I mean,
pre-order.
It's pretty crazy.
No, there's no pre-order. What do you pre-orders?
Pre-orders just for the sealed product. Is pretty much all we have right now.
We don't.
I'll tell you what, too. Folks are starting to get really aggressive on Aether Vial too. There's like 1, 2, 3, 4 printings of that card. One of them being from the Vault Relics, which isn't like, that's pretty like a non-printing.
So Malcolm Moss is asking here, his question regarding pre-orders is, should we target pre-ordering the foils if we think they're cheap? I think the group think in the Discord will inform that.
Yeah.
Obviously the answer is yes, if you know, if the chatter is, hey, that, you know, these look really good. I would definitely lean into Discord. There's gonna be Discord will be blowing up around that time when pre-orders are going on, so there'll be plenty of conversation and insight there. But I think if the consensus is, you know, there's some really good low cost foils to be gotten for sure. Yeah.
You know what? As good as the Discord like group is identifying pre-order stuff, you know, we may have missed like, you know, literally only a couple of cards. I think we might actually be 100% on foils. I don't know what it is, but any foil that ends up being, you know, has any sort of relevance or high price tag, we are in on that, like, almost immediately.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, like, insane. I think we might actually be better on the, like, our hit rate might actually be 100% on foil. Might not even kidding. Yeah, I mean, it's like, we were, you know, I wasn't even really part of the discussion. I was kind of like, yeah, you know, kind of whatever. I mean, we were, even this set, like, what was it? The Red Burn card, Pteramander, like, all that stuff. I mean, it was just, like, almost immediately. It's like, we definitely don't miss foils. So,
well, I think the group is...
insane on foils.
The group collectively identifies a lot of things that could potentially be good. And anything that's going to potentially be good, the foil just becomes almost like, okay, grab the foil because there's a much higher chance of the foil spike.
Right. Like, we're like almost nearly perfect on just regular cards, but we are actually, I think, perfect on foils. That's how insane it is. Speaking of insane, I think this has been a really good podcast. Tark, thanks for joining us this week. We are going to cut it there. Yeah. I will post this into the QS Insider Discord as always. And then it gets released to the wild of the public later on in the month. So thanks, everyone, for your questions, Tark. Awesome discussion about Modern Horizons. I think you brought a really great perspective here.
Yep. I think the product's going to be awesome. I can't wait for it.
Yeah. All right. Awesome. Good night, folks. That's going to do it for this week. Tark, we'll see you soon.
Yep.
Everyone else, we'll see you soon as well. Good night, everyone. Thanks.
Good night.